Greetings in the name of the Lord. For a number of weeks, we've been studying from the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, and each morning, as we have studied this together, we have learned a little bit more of God's grace and God's mercy and God's salvation. I've tried to emphasize throughout that this book, of course, is the Word of God. It was written through men, or through a man, Apostle Paul in this case, but nevertheless, it is the Word of God. It is the only one we can really trust. This entire book, the Bible, is the only book we can really trust. Many religions are based upon the teachings of men. It may be something that was given 200 years ago, 300 years ago, 1,000 years ago by some man, but it's still the teachings of man. We can only rely on the Word of God itself. And I want to emphasize, if you have any doubts about what I've been teaching in this long series of messages, I would urge you, go back to God's Word itself. In other words, I don't want you to believe it simply because I'm teaching it. I want you to believe it because this is what God has to say. Because God's Word is authoritative. It is definite. It is reliable. And so go back to the Word of God. Rather than simply turning aside, go back to the Word of God. Read it for yourselves. Put aside every other man's notes and read this for yourself. And so even in your Bibles, you may have notes in the margin. Some Bibles are like this. They have printed notes in the margin. This is really what the verse means. It may not seem like this, but this is what it means. No, believe the Word of God. Just read the Word of God and put aside other things. Now today, I want to read from Romans chapter 12, and I want to read verses 3 to 8, these words. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same gift or office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now this morning I want to talk about the gifts of God. This is a very deep subject. I can only very lightly teach on it. Perhaps sometime in a study we'll come back and study the gifts of the Spirit to the individual more deeply. But this is a very deep study, and so we're going to just touch on some of the main things about it. Now you will notice as you study the New Testament that gifts are mentioned in a number of different passages. For instance, in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8, the passage I just read, the subject of gifts is a theme here. Then in 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14, again, the gifts are mentioned. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 to 13, the subject of gifts is mentioned. And finally, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Now, in these passages, it's very important to understand what they're saying. They are emphasizing the ministering and the serving gifts that are used by the church and in the church by the believers to take their place as part of the body of believers. And this will add to the ongoing work of God. Now, some people have put emphasis upon gifts that, according to the Scriptures, are no longer in force today. For instance, the subject of tongues, and I want to be very sensitive in what I'm about to say. Tongues are only mentioned in 1 Corinthians, in these four passages. You only see them in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 to 14. And this seems to indicate this is one of the few churches where this gift was exercised by the believers. Even in the Jerusalem church, where we would suppose it would be exercised regularly, it is not mentioned beyond Acts chapter 2. In the entire book of Acts, in fact, tongues are only mentioned three times, chapter 2, chapter 10, and chapter 19. Now this gift and prophecy, this gift of tongues and prophecy, are mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 to 13, and you may follow this up yourselves, as those that will pass away during the church age. They're not passing away in eternity. They're passing away during the church age, while other gifts will continue. As far as we know from history, the gift of tongues, for instance, passed away sometime after 100 AD. Perhaps even as late as 150 AD, we may still find traces of this gift being used. But after that, we find no other mention of this in history. And so these two gifts, and I don't want to speak negatively, but I do want to mention this. These two gifts, this idea of new revelations from God, and then the gift of tongues, are the subject of much false teaching today. We need to go back to the Word of God and find out what He Himself emphasizes rather than what men today are emphasizing. Now, we notice several warnings in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8, concerning these gifts. First of all, everyone does not have the same gift. Now, we're talking about these ministering and serving gifts. Everyone does not have the same gift. In other words, we're not to be jealous of each other. We're not to compete with each other in any way. We don't have the same gifts. It's interesting that in a body of believers, whether that body of believers may be 20 people or 200 people or 2,000 people, God has endowed people with different gifts, some with one gift and some with another. Now, we also note that everyone's gift is important to God. It is equally important to God and must also be equally important to other believers. When you study this whole subject of gifts, and you study these four different passages that I have mentioned from the New Testament, you will notice that sometimes some gifts seem very insignificant. And yet every gift is important to God and must be important to us. And I say again that no one is to be puffed up over the gift that God has given him. Now, some may have more than one gift. I want to be fair about this. They may have a gift of one thing and another, which can be used of God. But we're not to be proud of our gifts. If a man has been given the gift of teaching, for instance, he's to use it in a humble way. If it's preaching, use it in a humble way. Because every gift is important to God. And then every gift is necessary in the body of believers. If some gifts are absent, then the body of believers will lack. And this is very important to understand. Every gift is necessary. So it's important not only to have a gift, but to use it for the glory of God, to dedicate that gift to God and to use it for His glory. Now, there are a number of different gifts mentioned in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8, and let me just very briefly discuss these gifts with you. First of all, there is the gift of prophecy. Now, this is a gift that God used, as far as we understand the meaning of this gift. This is a gift that God used to give bits of new revelations to His people. In other words, even revelations from God, where God would speak to His people and He would give them new revelations. Now, why in that day did God give new revelations and He doesn't give new revelations today? Well, it's easy to understand. 1 Corinthians, for instance, was written in about 54 A.D. At that time, it was only the fourth book of the Bible, or of the New Testament, that is, to be written. There had been the book of James in 45 A.D., the book of Galatians in about 48 A.D., book of 1 Thessalonians in about 52 or 53 A.D., and now the book of 1 Corinthians. It may be even the fifth book to be written, because perhaps 2 Thessalonians had already been written. But the rest of the New Testament had not been written at all. These people needed instruction. They needed light from God. And so God would give little bits of revelation. A person can stand in a meeting of the assembly, according to the 14th chapter. He could edify the church by sharing with them some new revelation or a bit of a revelation that God had given him, some word of encouragement from God. So this is the gift of prophecy. And then second, there is a gift of serving. This is a very humble gift. And many Christians have this gift, and it's to be exercised in the body of believers. All Christians, and I want to emphasize this, are to have serving hearts. But some were especially gifted in this matter. And we see this, and how we thank the Lord for this, in fact. We see this at work in the body of believer when everyone is using his gift. Then the third gift is the gift of teaching. Some were gifted in sharing God's truth in the body of believers, not necessarily as preachers, but teaching classes and teaching groups of people and so forth. You notice the same thing is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4, how he gave some evangelists and some teachers and so forth. And so this gift of teaching is a very important gift, and we're to use this for the glory of God. And God can use this in various ways. We can teach the unsaved, we can teach Christians, we can encourage Christians in this gift of teaching, and so we use this gift of teaching also for the glory of God. And then there was also the gift of exhortation. Many people believe that this gift has to do with the gift of preaching, the actual preaching of the word in the assembly of the believers, where a pastor is standing up, a shepherd is standing up, and is exhorting the people. It's very interesting that the word pastor is the same office, the same role, as the man who's called a bishop or a shepherd or some other name. In other words, there are a number of different names for this man in the church, the leader of a church, who is exhorting people in the Word of God. And then there's also the gift of giving. When you study 2 Corinthians, and you can study this for yourselves, 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, these two chapters are entirely devoted to the subject of giving. And some people have a special gift of giving. Now, I want to emphasize every one of us are to have a sacrificial spirit in giving. So this does not excuse any of us. We cannot excuse ourselves by saying, well, I don't have the gift of giving. No, every one of us have some abilities in this matter, and we have some obligation in this matter. But some have a very, very sacrificial, generous spirit. The Macedonians had this. Many of them at least did. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Then the next gift is a gift of leading. And this is also very important. Leaders in the assembly. This is a very dangerous position for this reason, because it can be a source of pride. I have been in assemblies, and I say this very, very respectfully, I've been in assemblies where they don't believe in having pastors, and I don't want to get into this issue today. And I respect these people very, very deeply. They're very, very spiritual people. But you can always tell who the leader is. And I've been in one assembly when I was in college where one of the leaders seemed to be, in fact, very proud of his leadership. In other words, he was like a dominating personality. And this is not really what leadership is. It's not in the church. It's not in the marriage relationship. It's not in any other relationship among Christians. It's not dictatorship. It is humble leadership, where people are exercising the gift that God has given them, and they are humble leaders. Now, this could refer, of course, to the pastors of churches. And then, the last of the gifts is the gift of showing mercy. Now, this gift seems to be the gift of reaching out to other believers to help and encourage them. And some have this gift of coming alongside another believer, or other believers, as the case might be, and encouraging them, lifting them up, being that one to stand alongside them. Now, in the spiritual sense, of course, it's the Holy Spirit who is the one who comes alongside. But on the human level, God uses his people who have this gift of mercy, this gift of coming alongside other believers. It also speaks of people who have a very tender heart to those who are less fortunate than themselves. And we need to have such a tender heart. Now, as you study these gifts, you can see how every one of us, except for the gift of prophecy, for instance, and exhortation and teaching, you can see how every one of us would have at least a measure of all of the other gifts. But some are especially gifted with these things, and if they are gifted with these things, they humbly use them for the glory of God. So as we have very briefly, very, very briefly covered this subject of gifts, I want you to think about what your gift might be and how you would fit into the body of believers. You may not have the talents and the ability for public ministry that other believers have. You may not have the ability to do certain things that other believers can do very ably. But nevertheless, you have some gift that could be used for the glory of God. It may simply be the humble gift of serving other people, helping in the church. It might be cleaning the church. This is your gift, and you do it with all your heart. So whatever your gift might be, dedicate it to the Lord, use it for the glory of God, and do it with all your heart. Now, I want to say this one sentence in closing. When we come together in a body of believers, the danger is we will compete with each other. I started the message off with this admonition, and I want to close it with this. We're not there to compete. We're there to work for the glory of God. And this would be my prayer in the use of the gifts of each of you. You are vitally needed. Use it for the glory of God. May the Lord bless you, each one.